All right, Selena, I have a question for you. And this is actually more of a, like I said, this one makes me nervous. It's because I'm asking it about myself. What do you think? And that is, what is the most annoying thing about me? She's like smiling so smugly right now.
No, I'm not.
And there's the smudgeness.
I'm trying to.
Should I redact my question?
Think about it.
Is it how I leave my underwear on the floor?
There's so many things to choose from.
Welcome to the Fierce Marriage Podcast, where we believe that marriage takes a fierce tenacity that never gives up and refuses to give in.
Here we'll share openly and honestly about all things marriage,
sex,
communication,
finances,
priorities,
purpose,
and everything in between.
Laugh, ponder, and join in on candid, gospel-centered conversations. This is Fierce Marriage.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Fierce Marriage Podcast. My name is Ryan.
I'm Selena.
And we are the authors and voices behind Fierce Marriage. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a fun show scheduled for today.
Mm-hmm.
This is our first episode of the year,
woo!
2018.
Can't believe it.
I can't believe it. Yeah,
last year
was incredible. It felt very polarizing. There were some things last year that happened that were very terrible. There were also some things that I feel like we have lots of reason to celebrate.
Right. I know. I don't know if that's just getting older or we're maturing and experiencing things differently or if that was just that year.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And I do want to share at least one thing. So we had a Christmas party with all the people we get to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so fun. But one thing that just blew me away I ran some of the numbers over the previous year just in terms of who's reading Fierce Marriage stuff and who's listening. The numbers were crazy. And again, this is internet stuff, so it's a take it with a grain of salt. But 50 million people had read Fierce Marriage content over the course of 2017.
Wow.
50 million. That's enough to fill up, I don't know.
Couple stadiums?
A couple. Like the average stadium is like, I think like 70,000 or something.
Okay, so many.
Anyway, not to brag, I just think that's really cool that God is moving. We honestly, we can't really take credit for that.
Yeah.
We can't. We get on here and we kind of just spill our guts.
Mm-hmm.
And by God's grace and for his glory, I think the gospel is exalted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is
made great.
Made great. Yep.
In our mess.
Thank you. Yeah, so anyway, that's just fun to celebrate, a little snippet before we head into this year. We'll see what this year holds. Again, we just hope that that we get to tell as many people as possible about Jesus and the power that he has for, first, our salvation,
mm-hmm.
But also just how being loved by him compels us to love our spouse as well and to live our marriages in light of his kingdom purposes.
Yeah. We started these closed groups on Facebook. So they're individual groups. There's a Fierce Husbands and a Fierce Wives.
Yep.
And they're just for husbands and just for wives. A little caveat there. And we basically created them to be a safe place for husbands and wives to...
just to talk about sensitive
talk
subjects.
And to share and for each of us to point each other back to Jesus, to say, hey, I'm dealing with this too. How do we, you know, talk about this?
And one of the main reasons we started it was because we wanted to be able to go through the 31-Day Pursuit Challenge
mm-hmm.
with husbands and with wives.
Right.
And this gives us a venue to do that. I can just go through it with other guys,
mm-hmm.
and we can all encourage each other on how to love our wives well, and
mm-hmm.
Selena can do the same with the ladies. And, but it kind of, that desire precipitated something that was unintentional,
mm-hmm.
is that these groups have become an incredible place where ministry is happening from peer to peer.
Right.
So for the life of Fierce Marriage, it's been kind of like, hey, we are just writing about marriage. We're talking about marriage. We're posting images and we're just kind of encouraging. It's felt very like we're broadcasting. And this feels more like a conversation,
right?
We've been broadcasting information, and now within these groups, it feels like a conversation. So
that
conversation and that ministry that's happening in those groups is what's kind of led us to this topic for today.
Right. A lot of the questions, well, I would say a good amount of them so far have been marriages and women struggling with the idea of submission because of, well, a lot of reasons, but there's this idea of headship.
Right.
And husbands maybe aren't understanding what that biblical description is, and maybe they're I don't know. We'll get into it. I don't want to give it all away.
Yeah, it's a very complex topic, yes, but it's become clear that we
need to talk about it for sure. And then we have a really great voicemail that I'm super excited for people to listen to. It's just super honest.
Yeah.
And then we'll get into our fierce facts. But
fierce facts, by the way, is where I ask Selena a ridiculous question that I'm a little nervous about today's. So
yikes! I think it was my turn to ask you, but
well,
that's good
I jumped on it.
Okay,
we skipped a few weeks, I think, too. So yeah. We'll just.
So jumping into our heart check.
Yeah. So this is a part where we like to, we ask each other this periodically, not on the podcast, kind of in roundabout ways, but essentially we ask each other three questions. We encourage you guys to do this with your husband or your wife. And the three questions are this: it's what book is in your hand, what voice is in your ear, and what's stirring in your heart. So,
why don't you start with the book?
Okay. Well, I'm still reading a few books. Preaching by Tim Keller is really good, and he's basically, and it's not just about preaching, it's about communicating the gospel faithfully and effectively for the culture in which you're ministering.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just for pastors and preachers, but anybody who's really a believer who's telling others.
So good.
And that's been really good, and Tim Keller, as always, is very clear and compelling in how he writes, and very well thought out, well researched. I mean, he's basically packing, I don't know how many years, but I'm going to say 30 or
decades,
40 years
yeah.
of pastoring and preaching into a 300 page book.
That's
and
awesome.
Man, it's meaty. It's really good. If that sounds interesting to you, we'll put a link in the show notes for this. What voice is in my ear? A whole lot of Chipmunk's Christmas.
I was going to say that. Darn it. Well, that's mine too. Christmas songs have been like ringing around in my head still.
I just, for some reason, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas.
You want a hippopotamus? Me too.
So, and what's stirring in my heart? You know what? And I've already kind of started to say it, but these groups mm-hmm. and just what God is doing, it's really expanding my faith and really the brotherhood of these men. If you're in one of the groups and you're a guy listening to this, man, thank you for being a part of it. And I just want to encourage you to continue ministering to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You're ministering to me in the process. And mm-hmm. it's really cool. It feels like just a huge men's group where everybody really cares, because you have to ask to be in the group
mm-hmm.
and then you're admitted. And then I feel like there's this level of like decorum that goes with that, mm-hmm. that people are really excited to be in it
mm-hmm.
and people are engaging really positively. So right. yeah, that's where I'm at.
That's great. I know. I don't feel like I've had to police too much, and that's really refreshing me and our moderators.
Yeah. No, the community is really loving.
Really, yeah. Really
we
amazing.
We even had a guy get on there and share something really personal and how he had screwed up. And, you know, he's worried that other men would judge him
mm-hmm.
and kind of bash him. It was the opposite. It was
That's
amazing.
That's awesome. Seeing the body of Christ just come together. That's so great. excuse me. What book is in your hand? Honestly, right now, it's January. My journals and my calendars are in my hand, my new ones. And I am trying not to, I guess I'm struggling with them being a to-do list and not like joyful experiences. Because we do have a very busy year ahead of us, all good things, all God things, trying to breathe it in one step at a time. Because when I take it one step at a time, it's much more enjoyable, it's less stressful. So, just trying to make some of that, create that white space and plan well. I know that when I plan better, it just helps everybody in our family.
Yeah.
What voices in your ear? I already said that. We're getting rid of those Christmas songs. and what is stirring in your heart? I'm a little anxious about 2018 being a to-do list versus ministry. but what's stirring in my heart is what God is already, like you said, what God is doing, but what the opportunities that are lying ahead of us. We have a few speaking engagements, which I'm grateful for and a little nervous about, but I feel like this, the podcast and the Fierce Wives group has grown my confidence in some ways,
mm-hmm.
Not only to be able to speak, but to minister well. To women and
that's partly
wives.
That's why I'm reading this preaching book, is because it's like, I need to know it's getting real because, you know, it's different when you have a podcast, you can kind of re-record or edit, or you're editing a blog post. You can kind of take your time to say what needs to be said.
But my experience,
live,
and my experience with bringing Jesus to people, has been with moms and friends, but it's primarily been young people. And so speaking to wives and ministering to people I don't know is a different it takes some different approach, I guess. And so I feel like God is really kind of growing that capacity in me, because I never thought that I had any other room for anything else, which is kind of how you survive with little kids sometimes. So just taking it again, one thing at a time, that's but really good. I feel like God has just started this fire, and it's good, and it feels solid right now. And
yeah,
I'm grateful.
God is definitely at work, and yeah, it's humbling to be a part of it. And it's cool to hear you say that, that he's already starting to expand your capacity. And I think he's doing the same thing for me. Help me understand more where couples are really at.
Right.
And that you kind of have your assumptions. You think this is where couples are at. This is what they need to hear. Mm-hmm. But these groups have started to actually kind of, make it
down
clearer.
Some stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's broken down some of those bigger needs. And so that helps us contextualize the gospel in terms that are pertinent to marriage. Right.
Right. Which leads us right into our topic today of talking about headship and submission.
Yes, yeah, like the most tender topic
I
we
know,
could possibly choose.
I know.
One of them anyway.
Right.
Yeah, so the idea of headship.
Mm-hmm.
You said this is coming up a lot in the ladies group, in the Fierce Wives group.
Right. Yeah, it's more the idea of submission, but obviously submission and headship go hand in hand.
Yes. Yes, they're very tightly intertwined.
Right.
Yeah, so we've endeavored today. I think we went off what we were planning on doing this week, and instead we were planning on doing something on finances. So we endeavored today to explore headship and submission, which are like four-letter words.
Right.
And so, yeah, go ahead, Sel. Just take this one away.
Well, I think that from what I've seen in the group is that. Wives are struggling with what it means to submit. What does that look like? But also on the other side, husbands have maybe been either too harsh or too passive in their leadership and their headship of their marriage and their family.
Right.
You know, I think it's important for us to know that this is not just something that happened after Genesis 3. Like there was the whole idea of headship and submission existed.
Right.
I mean, God created it. It was before.
Yep.
Sin.
It was part of
the
original, design.
Yes.
And that's, I think, where we need to start. So, yeah, so if we look back to Genesis 2, right? 2 and 3, really, where 2 is before the fall, 3 mm-hmm. is where the fall happens.
Mm-hmm.
We see this perfect picture of humanity and
creation, relationship,
yes.
Everything
love, is perfect.
Essentially.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love is perfect.
There's no fear.
There's no sin. There's no fear, brokenness. Yeah.
We're glazing over a lot of big things that have happened here. It's not just like this.
Huge things
about the fall, about what happened to Adam and Eve's belief in God and who he says he was. They were questioned.
The very root of sin and humanity.
Right.
But I think the part we want to focus on today, it comes along in verse 16. And what that says, I'm going to read the New Living Translation because I just think it says it in a really clear way.
Mm-hmm.
It said, "Then he said to the woman," and this is God, speaking to her, "I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you." So this is that's really interesting, but it's what you see that's God is painting a picture of a distortion of a truth that's already existed prior to the fall.
Right.
So as opposed to, well, let me just read the English Standard Version to kind of elucidate even more. It says, "To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain, you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you."
Mm.
So this idea of headship and submission existing before the fall, it was perfect. It worked because there was no sin, because there's no corruption. And today, all the pain and like frustration we feel around bad headship, bad submission, what it means to be oppressed versus, submitting out of a joyful, glad heart that's rooted in the gospel. All that negativity around that comes from sin.
Mm-hmm.
So, Selena, we've talked about this as we were preparing, but what evidence do we have that submission is actually a good thing? Especially, did it exist and is it a principle that God himself created, before the fall even happened?
Well, we do have the Trinity, of course, and when you look at God, the Father is the head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have the Holy Spirit as the helper, and we have Jesus who submitted to God.
Right.
All equally God,
Right.
Equally,
one God, three persons.
Yes.
And yeah.
Which is a pretty clear parallel, I think, to marriage and
right. And we've
submission.
Said this before, that the unity experienced between a husband and a wife in marriage and that covenantal bond mm-hmm. is a reflection, albeit probably a fairly dim one, of the unity experienced in the Holy Trinity, right?
In right.
the triune God.
Right.
And their perfection and that perfect love and codependence or interdependence and mm-hmm. joy that is so profound and found within the triune God.
Right.
So, you know, we look, I have to ask this question is, you know, within the Trinity, you have Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Clearly, the Father is the head.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We see a lot of biblical evidence for that. We see that as Jesus, you know, was sent
mm-hmm.
And he submitted himself.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea of submission, you know, culturally is a very raw place. It's like an open wound for
right.
a lot of women.
Right.
Because
it's been ill-defined
and distorted.
But
we have to realign ourselves.
Right.
In that submission is evidence in Jesus himself submitted. What does that mean? What does that mean for a wife to submit and for a husband to be a head? Like, you know, in that same sense that we see it in the Trinity.
Right.
And how can we align our own beliefs with that? So I think Ephesians 5 gets us there.
Yeah. That's, I mean, everybody's probably very familiar with verses 22 through 25. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands.
Hmm.
Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. It's funny, I had somebody kind of corner me at I think it was a baby shower. They had heard that I was writing for Fierce Marriage. I was Selena or whatever. And they're like, what are your views on, you know, roles and submission? I was like, oh.
Just the context you wanted to have that conversation.
Yeah, I was totally in the mindset and ready for it. No, but by God's grace, I feel like he helped me understand that before the fall, I truly believe that Eve's, I don't know how to say this, but like,
She was glad
and joyful and excited to be his helper. She wanted, she came under and submitted for the greater good, just like Jesus submitted
it was
for
like
the
there was
greater
nothing
purpose.
Else.
Yes, there was joy in that. There was completeness in that. But
on
love.
The flip side, and this is where we see it distorted, is Adam was also completely loving and there was no sin there.
Exactly.
And so she wasn't oppressed. He wasn't ruling over her in that sense that we
there
read.
There was no comparison of who's greater.
Well, yeah, and there wasn't sin that was informing his like headship, right? So, you know, a lot of what we hear about, you know, if wives are writing in saying, hey, my husband is, it's either because he's harsh, he's not listening, he's not loving.
Mm-hmm.
Those are distortions of biblical, of headship, of that headship role.
Mm-hmm.
We see on the flip side, we see wives who are subversive,
mm-hmm.
right? Or they usurp their husband's headship.
Mm-hmm.
In that he's trying to lead, but she's not letting him.
And or so some husbands that have just either given up or just don't lead.
That's on the flip side. Yeah.
Right.
So you have this harshness, this
passivity
versus passivity.
Right.
So you're lording it over, being too heavy handed,
mm-hmm.
too authoritative, tyrannical in
mm-hmm.
some cases
mm-hmm.
with their headship. And some husbands are too passive.
Right.
And that they've lost their spine.
And I think that Paul wrote Ephesians, right?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure about these.
Yes.
I feel like when all that to say, when I was at that baby shower and somebody asked me, what do you think about submission? I really believe that Paul and God was worded this to pinpoint and say, wives, submit to your own husbands out of a place of not be under them and submit to them, but to speak to our sin nature that wants now to lord over our husbands because of the brokenness, because of the fall. We have these desires that I can do it better. God, would you just let me do it? Those kinds of voices, those kinds of things. And God is saying, this is the better way. Submission is the way, and it's not an oppressive way. It's another good boundary that I want for life to be able to happen, for flourishing to be able to happen.
Right.
This is not a lesser thing. This is
supposed
to be.
So that's,
it's not just a one-time thing either. It's a continual attitude and behavior. It's this pattern of behavior.
So that's our challenge mm-hmm. as people doing the podcast, is we have to navigate this minefield because the word submit is a very, like,
There's so much connotation,
word.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it could mean one thing to somebody who has a loving husband.
Absolutely.
And who is rooted in the gospel to and versus another woman who's experienced abuse.
Right.
Or a passive husband.
Right.
Right? Or some sort of abuse of authority, not necessarily physical abuse, but maybe emotional abuse.
Right.
Or just, you know, basically not loving
absolutely.
Headship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we have this really tricky job of defining headship, submission, authority, and really clearly articulating that. So please take this all with a grain of salt, and that aside from Jesus and the gospel, none of this will make sense.
Right.
Aside from God's perfection and Jesus's perfect love for us, none of this will ever make sense.
Right.
And so speaking of Jesus, we look at him, right? We look at that it all hinges on him. You hear us say this all the time. It's in all of our books. It's all about Jesus. It starts and finishes with Jesus. The Bible begins and finishes with Jesus. It's
right.
all about Jesus. And this is no exception, because we look at Christ and what do we see?
Right.
I love this so much. We see a perfect picture of headship, Christ over the church. We see that in Ephesians. We also see a perfect picture of submission
right.
in Christ submitting to the Father.
And I just love that, you know, submission really should be a natural response to loving leadership, excuse me.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So it's, you see Jesus submitting to the Father. Yes, he was without sin. He was fully God and fully man. And we are only man, not
right.
fully God. But again, that's where I think Ephesians 5:22 comes in. God is saying, this is the way. Submission is the way to life and to a flourishing relationship. It should be a natural response. But again, if the loving leadership is not there, and the headship
right.
that is defined biblically is not there, then submission is not able to bloom, I guess.
Well, it will feel
hard.
It will feel a lot harder. Now the question is does that give a wife permission to not submit?
Right.
And I hate saying that word, because I can just hear, if you're in your car listening to that, I can just hear how it might be grating on you. But remember, this is always in context of Jesus. It makes no sense without him.
Right.
We're not using it in the worldly sense.
Right.
We're using it in the biblical sense. So does a wife now have license to usurp her husband's headship if he is not loving to her? I think the short answer is no, because our ultimate authority is Christ, and this is what he's asked us to do. Christ has given us, God has given us his word.
Mm-hmm.
However, the big caveat, I do not believe it means that a woman should stay in an abusive relationship, meaning that if she's in physical physically in harm's way, she should vacate, physically leave, and, you know, call the authorities. You know, if that's happening, submission does not mean you stay
right.
and get harmed.
Right.
That's not what submission means.
Right.
It also doesn't mean that a wife or a woman should submit because in a way that causes her to sin.
Right.
Or in a way that puts her moral, you know, it's against her, what's the word? Like her moral conviction, right?
Right.
And I know that's kind of a gray way to put it, but I'll leave it at that. And I think we'll leave it to the Holy Spirit to help you discern what that means. But it would never cause her to sin.
I think that...
The other thing I wanted to say was, remember, this is not... this is huge, okay? This is a marriage thing, right? This is not every woman needs to submit to every man.
That's good.
And that is, I think, a lot of men have misunderstood that, and they are treating women as subservient to them, and that is absolutely not biblical.
Right.
And even in marriage, that's not biblical.
Right.
But
this
I think
is specifically
it's a distortion
with a covenant,
of manhood is that women are somehow need to serve them,
right,
or be subservient
right.
to them. And man, I just hate even saying that, even
right.
though I know that I'm saying that's not the case. I hate even thinking that that's
right.
how some men view women. And our society is still figuring out.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of
still very broken and
this.
Yes, and confused and broken about how women should be treated,
right.
you know, and how, because you have both sides of the spectrum of, you know, they want equality. We want equality. But what is that out of response from? That's responded from,
right.
you know.
Well, yeah.
But and that's outside
years
of the marriage.
Years and
yes.
years of
yes.
inequality that's not biblically grounded,
right?
Right.
Right.
And so I just want to be clear that
this is in the covenant of
marriage. I am the head of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I am held responsible for you. I'm held responsible for our children,
mm-hmm.
For how I lead. And that's a responsibility that God is, by his grace, helping me with.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where that ends.
Mm-hmm.
That sense of authority ends
well,
there.
Well, and it's not, you're not selfish or domineering. You're following like what God's command is for you in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I think that's very yeah. definitive of the roles of husbands. It is not this, you know,
right.
this lording over, nor does God lord himself over Jesus
right.
or the Holy Spirit. And I think.
So before I jump, mm-hmm. I'm going to jump in. That command is so massive. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. I don't feel like I even really grasp that, but I feel like it's much costlier
mm-hmm.
to love as Christ loved the church than it is to submit. And I only say that to say this, to illustrate the fact that Christ did what to love the church?
He died.
He died a horrific,
like, horrific death.
Death.
And he was separated from God.
Yes. And that was probably by far
right.
the worst part
right.
is that brokenness there as because of the sin that he took on.
Right.
He paid that price that we could never pay.
Right, that relationship
he
was
loves
from,
in a
yeah.
way that's never reciprocated.
Right.
That is an intense
That's an
call.
Intense, yes.
And so when Paul wrote these words, and you know, they're inspired words of God, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for
that's
her.
A high call.
Gave himself up. And that I'm getting convicted right now as I say that, like, how am I even giving myself up remotely in any way? Like
right.
living. And so what happens is we talked about this last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, is you have these points in your marriage where you have disagreement, where you feel like you can't move forward,
mm-hmm.
right? It's an impasse. And we talked about how biblical headship gives us the 50-51 rule, meaning that if someone has to make the final decision, we believe it's the husband's role to do that. But more often than not, and this is the big caveat, in our case, that compels me to side with you. In that, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so maybe that's one way where I'm able to give myself up as Christ. And that's a very tiny way, of
right.
course.
But... Right. Well, and I think it's interesting too, that as you love and sacrifice and give yourself up for us or for me, it compels me to submit joyfully. And not that one has to lead the other, but by nature, I think
they
circular
yeah.
and produce more and more and they multiply. And I think that I don't do it so that you'll do it. I do it because God asks me to do
right.
it. And out of that,
right.
That's
so good.
Eventually reciprocates and multiplies. But again, it's only by God getting a hold of our hearts and our souls
yeah.
and us grasping this idea of Jesus and his love for us and the depth of his love for us and the extent
right.
and the sacrifice that he went as far, how far he went for us.
So the rubber meets the road really fast with
mm-hmm.
this, because it's easy to talk about this in terms of just Bible and just like theology and even in a marriage that's, not broken beyond a certain point, right? Because there's a lot of marriages that are wives that are struggling because their husband's addicted to something and it's really affecting their lives. So
mm-hmm.
we've seen it to where it's been alcohol,
mm-hmm.
drugs, pornography certainly is an issue, video games. In a lot of cases, that's causing chaos in their marriage. So how does a wife...
So we get confused about what is submission and what is essentially an enablement, right? Is that
enabling,
what, that's what
yeah.
we're trying to,
well,
to clarify.
That's part of it. Yeah. Yeah. So how does a wife in that situation like honor these passages? How does a wife trust Jesus and
right.
trust God and trust his word when her husband is completely disengaged,
mm-hmm.
is committing sin on a regular basis and is not loving her? How is she supposed to submit when he's not even giving her anything to really submit to?
Right. And a lot of it, and I've seen a lot of the ladies respond in our group who have walked through these things to large extents. A lot of it has begun with prayer. And that
wow.
is not a trite answer. I'm sorry if it sounds like that, but that's where I think I have to go back and say, okay, prayer. That means talking to Jesus about the things that are affecting my heart and my husband's heart and our marriage. How can I pray, you know, for him, but also how can I, God, help me to love him how you would want me to love him, to submit. What does that look like in this situation? What are you wanting me to believe about you right now for my husband in this situation?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's a tried answer at all. I think it's probably the right one for this, because there's no way we can.
Right. I can't change your heart.
And there's no way we can speak to every situation and say, yeah, if you have A, try B. Right. If you have C, try
it's
D.
It's way too nuanced, like, way too complex.
No, that would be a tried answer.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but when you say, hey, pray,
yeah,
like, don't journey alone.
Right.
I mean, find somebody to help you. Another woman, somebody who you can trust. Right.
Converse and be relational with God and with another woman who also has God at the center and is seeking out his word, and somebody, that you do trust, and maybe who's walked through it in some ways.
This is really cool, by the way, and we didn't plan this, but that's our voicemail for today.
Oh yeah.
Is such a good, I think, indicator of God moving in a husband's heart after a wife has been praying, after there's been brokenness.
Right.
We even have, and we'll share that voicemail in just a few seconds.
Too. Yeah. Okay. I don't want to give it away.
We'll share that voicemail in just a few seconds, or a few minutes, but remember Linda?
Yeah.
Our friend Linda and her husband Kenny. If you're listening, Linda and Kenny, I hope you don't mind us. We know you probably don't mind us saying your names.
They're the best.
They're incredible. But they weren't. Linda had a rough point in the beginning of their marriage where Linda would go to church, and he would just stay back and like watch football and drink beer and like and she was always
this is part of their testimony for sure.
Yeah, I wish they were here to share it now.
I know,
but she would always nag him and be like, "You're gonna go to hell!" Like,
right. Like, I'm going to church. I'm taking the kids. Don't you want to come?
And she was like kind of a Bible thumper in that sense, until finally she felt the Holy Spirit just saying, "You know what? Just love your husband where he is."
Yeah.
And that was at church, and she came home that Sunday,
mm-hmm.
cracked a beer, got it out of the fridge, got two beers, one for him, one for her, sat down and said, "Well, who's playing?" And Kenny said, he got hit
floored.
Upside the head.
Yeah.
He was floored. He was like, "Who is this woman? What is happening?" Because he was just used to her just kind of berating him for not like being the man she thought he should be. And she thought it was her job to fix him. And finally she let go.
Right.
And God started to go to work.
Which is a good illustration, again, of how us women, you know, we desire control for our husbands in Genesis 3.
Yeah.
And it's just so deep into us. And so then God says, this is the way out. This is the way to life, is through submission and through trusting my word and loving your husband and allowing me the space and time to work in his heart.
And again, none of this will make sense outside of the gospel.
Yep.
It doesn't. It looks like Genesis 3.
It does.
It will always look like that.
Yes.
It will always hurt. It will always make you irritated with us for sharing this with you. It'll always probably make you give us a 1-star review. Because outside of the gospel, all of this is nonsense.
Absolutely.
And it's utter nonsense.
Yep.
So, but you know what? That's the beauty of it. We don't live outside the gospel.
Right.
That we have Jesus, and he's there, and he's ready, and he's willing, and he has helped us.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, I think let's share this voicemail. We're a little out of order here, but we'll share the voicemail, then we'll come back and we'll talk about our couples challenge for the week. All right, here goes.
Hi, Ryan and Selena. I just want to call and say thank you so much for your work on your blog, through your ministry, and through the podcast that my wife and I have been doing. I also want to say to my dear wife of 20 years that though right now we're going through a really hard time because of my failures, I want her to know, and I want the world to know, that I love her very much. And though my heart's desire is to bring her joy and peace and security and make sure she knows she is loved, I know right now those feelings are very distant, and it's very hard for her to know where she stands. But I want her to know that no matter what, I will not give up, and I will continue to fight for her, for us, and try to make progress and become the godly husband I know God wants me to be, and the godly husband that she deserves. I love you very much, Jen, and I look forward to the next 20 years together. I hope they're better by God's grace.
Wow.
So good.
Wow. That took some guts to call in and share that. And it's so, it's miraculous to watch God work in a man's heart like that. I know firsthand how easy it is to harden your heart toward God, especially when your marriage feels like it's frustrating and you feel like you're beating your head against a wall.
Okay.
It's only by God's grace.
Yeah. And I feel like it's easy to maybe listen to this and back of your head, you're thinking, oh yeah, but you know, maybe he messed up real big, or there's just kind of these voices that are like, oh, that's good. You know, they're like,
you don't know the backstory.
And we don't know the backstory. But what I feel like God's really shown me through our community group and just through life in general it's really important to celebrate milestones, big or small, of progress and people coming to the realization. I mean, we all have these epiphanies and realizations of how far we've come or how far God's brought us, really. And I feel like in his voice, you see the conviction. You feel like you feel the hurt that they've walked through in some things, and right. We don't know the backstory. I have no idea, but I just want to silence some of those voices that I know that I struggle
even
with when I
heads,
hear
yeah.
things, you know, that God is good and he is at work and we yep. need to celebrate that. And
well, and you know what? There's not anything too great to mm-mm. recover from,
right.
You know, divorce is never God's, like best. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's permitted and sometimes it's necessary, but it's never his best.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there's repentance and there's a mutual like desire to uphold the covenant, mm-hmm. God will work. We've seen this mm-hmm. firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just reminded of Romans 8:39 says, "Not nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Mm-hmm.
That covenantal love is the same covenantal love that marriage embodies,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, by the power of the Holy Spirit and through God's grace, you know, this couple, this man, we don't have his name, but thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
They will experience healing.
Super transparent.
And around this area of, kind of distorted headship,
right.
Sin, and a wife maybe is who is struggling to figure out how to love her husband
yeah,
in a biblical way.
How to respond. It's really hard to respond when you're hurt, I feel like, or when hurt and sin has happened. So. That was incredible.
Yeah.
I really feel like that was one of our most transparent
yeah. So if you can also leave a voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want us to share it. But the number is 971-333-1120. Just so you have that while it's top of mind.
Right.
Our couple's challenge for today. How has the fall or sin, so Genesis 3, how mm-hmm. has that contaminated a biblical view of headship roles in marriage? We want you guys to answer that in your own words.
Yeah. We've answered that, I feel like, just, in the topic.
Yeah. Think about it. You know, maybe as you're going about your day, think about how that it's contaminated biblical view of headship and submission in marriage.
Well, and just think of your own struggles, I think. Where do you feel like you're struggling with submission?
Yeah.
And then trace
if
that back.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if you're a husband, how are you struggling with godly
yes.
headship and loving,
yeah.
giving yourself up for her?
Do we even understand
bride?
It and know
yeah.
what,
yeah.
what the picture is?
Yeah.
Are we accurate in our understanding of it?
So, yeah, I'd say use this as an opportunity to get really accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second follow-up question would be, how does Jesus display perfect headship and submission?
Mm.
Just write that down, figure it out, think about it.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about it here, but really, you know, process it in your own words.
Yeah.
All right. So, man, I hope that topic didn't put you out. I hope we articulated well. We'll pray that these words are somehow they land in the right place.
Right, and this won't
despite
be
the, us.
Although this is the first time we've kind of talked about submission, touched on biblical
yeah.
roles, it will not be the last, of course.
There are some really good resources.
Yeah,
and I
you put
know
some
what?
In the show notes. Maybe.
Yeah, you know, one of them is just Systematic Theology. It sounds ridiculous, but
it's like reading the Bible. So good, like
well, it's, yeah,
so
it's
many.
Just, it takes this whole topic and
yeah.
and grabs everything the Bible has to say about. Like biblical roles,
mm-hmm.
a husband and a wife. And it gives you all the evidence that you need. And it really paints a beautiful picture. And it's by Wayne Grudem. It's a systematic theology book. It's a textbook. It's very expensive, but there's actually free. You can go to find another podcast there.
Yeah.
Search for it. Wayne Grudem.
So good.
Anyway, coming up, we have our fierce fact. It used to be rapid fire Q&A, but I just have a question for you, but that is, that'll be right after this. Stay tuned. All right, guys, very, very quickly, we just want to spend a moment or maybe three moments.
Three moments.
talking about the 31-Day Pursuit. The reason for that is we are starting, we've already started as of yesterday, our online study through our closed Facebook groups, Fierce Husbands and
mm-hmm.
Fierce Wives.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what it is we are leading each other, leading our respective communities through that day by day, and it's already proving challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Selena, I know that you always work a few days ahead just so you know what to expect.
Yes.
And it is, it's not easy.
It's very different writing the book and doing the book.
Yes.
It's
yes.
very different
so we regret
journeys.
Ourselves. Who are these authors anyway? These guys are...
I know, and we should have put a few grace days. I think we need some grace days for people to catch up and stuff, because it's intense. And you know what? Don't feel like you got to finish it in 31 days. We're trying our best to do that.
Well, we're going
to
do it, by
we're
golly.
We're going to do it. husband leading the way.
Yeah. By the way, no. We do have those books now. They're available on Kindle.
Ooh.
So if you haven't picked them up, you can. And
awesome.
You don't have to wait for them to be shipped. You can start today.
Awesome.
So just look for that on Amazon. Yeah. I don't have a link or anything. Look for those on Amazon. But we'd love for you to be part of the community. Even if you don't do the group study for the next 31 days, just be a part of that community like we've talked about today.
Right.
There's so much meaningful ministry happening.
Right.
But, man, I'm excited. And if you're curious to hear more about this, listen to last week's podcast because we talked about kind of the days we're looking forward to and nervous about.
Right.
So anyway, that's coming up. We're very excited for it. Go to 31daypursuit.com if you want physical books, or look it up on Amazon to get them as quickly as possible through Kindle. And anyway, we hope you'll join us. And thanks to all who already have.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Selena, I have a question for you. And this is actually more of a, like I said, this one makes me nervous. It's because I'm asking it about myself. What do you think? And that is, what is the most annoying thing about me? She's like smiling so smugly right now.
No, I'm not.
And
I
there's the smudgeness.
There's the smudgeness. I'm trying to...
Should I redact my question?
Think about it.
Is it how I leave my underwear on the floor?
Or there's so many things to choose from.
Or is it how I don't like put anything away in the kitchen after I go in and get food?
Probably, yeah, some of it. I mean, that's not the most. I don't know if we should talk about the most annoying, because that could cause some
get ugly. We could.
There's, yeah, okay. I'll do a few
our
like
last
lower
episode ever.
Probably, yeah. The laundry on the floor next to the basket, the open bags that are the empty bags or empty things of food that are left on the counter.
I'm sorry.
Instead of putting them in the garbage, I don't know.
I just get so hungry. I'm just so fascinated by the food. So delicious.
I think one thing that
I do clean up the kitchen fairly regularly. But I'm very bad at maintaining the kitchen.
Right.
Consistently.
I think probably one of the things that, I don't know if it's annoying or frustrating, because I've been trying to get better at planning. I just know that I have too much to not plan. And I think sometimes you like the high of procrastination.
Thrive on it.
Which causes some stress in our relationship occasionally.
The high of procrastination. Is that even a thing?
You tell me, because I feel like it's that you're going.
I'm the authority in this matter. I would know. It's a rush, let me tell you. It wouldn't fly by the seat of your pants.
Submission right here. We're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get better. I have
You plan really well, I feel like, for the future and in terms
big
of
things.
Months and years. Yeah, and I need to plan day to day. And so when you're like, hey, we're going to do this next week, I'm like, wait, what? Not.
That's a whole week in advance, though.
It's not functioning. I don't understand. It's like...
You should see Selena's calendar. It's
because I write things down and then I remember them.
It's like 17 pens exploded. And that's what we have as a calendar.
That's my calendar. Yours is on Google Docs or Google Calendar.
I have this Gantt chart. If you know what that is, it's for life. And it goes out to like 5-10 years from now.
So you're really good at that. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Anyways, it moves around a lot. Strengths and weaknesses. Okay. Maybe it's annoyances.
Now for the most annoying thing that you do. I'm just kidding. I won't.
That's next week.
Okay.
So we just heard a really great voicemail too. And just to a reminder that we do listen to these. It's really encouraging to us personally. I feel like
and that
was
number
great.
Is
971-333-1120. I can't say it. Gotta say the number.
Way of saying get along with it. Get on with it.
I know.
971-333. Just wait.
Okay. 971-333.
971-333-1120. We're losing it, and we're losing listeners.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, that's it, you guys.
Please don't rate us on that.
Yeah.
Speaking of.
If you've enjoyed this show, we'd really appreciate if you told somebody, if you could subscribe, rate, and review, and share it if you feel so compelled. If you haven't enjoyed this show, we're sorry. Give us a few more weeks. We're getting better all the time, and we hope to steward your time well.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, today has been an intense day.
Yeah.
I hope I hope that we were clear. Roles are never easy to talk about in today's culture, especially through any sort of medium that's not in person or in like a church context where you really know the culture of a group of people. Everybody's coming in it with their own sort of interpretations, perspectives, experiences. So we just encourage you to go to God's word, trust it.
Remember that this is in covenant relationship.
Yes. It's for our own good. It's for our flourishing. That's a really important kind of baseline understanding is that God's word is never there to hurt us. It's always to push us deeper and further into relationship with him and to trust with him and in that and into human flourishing. And so we have to trust it. And we hope that it has helped you understand a little bit better and maybe extended your trust even further into God's word. So with that said, Selena, I would love it if you would close us out with a prayer.
Okay. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for leading us as wives and leading the husbands in how to love, how to sacrifice, leading us as wives of how to submit and why we submit and how that produces joy and life and flourishing. I pray for the marriages that are struggling deeply and struggling in this area. I know that we struggle with it in different ways. And I just pray, God, that your word would be clear and that you would build their faith and their trust in your word and your ways. I pray for confidence in trusting your word. And I pray for continual guidance as we move forward and journey together in understanding more about what it means to submit, what it means to love and sacrifice for each other. Thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness to us. Thank you that you are sovereign. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and submitting yourself to life here on earth, to death on a cross, separation from God and rising again. Holy Spirit, be our helper. And we invite you into our marriages and to our days. Be our counselor. Help us to know you more. Thank you again for this time. Thank you for building Fierce Marriage, God, and help us again to steward it well. And help us to get out of the way so that you can continue to grow and move and do only the work that you can do. In your name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much, Sil, for praying. That's beautiful, just like you.
So next week, what did you want to share that we're going to talk about?
We're going to call an audible. We're going to leave it open. And that's because we will be another week along in our 31-day challenge that so we're just going to share some of our experiences with that and whatever God's laying on our hearts. We won't talk about the book all the time, like for the whole time. But we're going to share just whatever God puts on our hearts to share with you. So tune in for that. We're always praying for you. We're always advocating for you and for your marriage and hoping that we help point you closer to each other and most of all, closer to Christ. But other than that, Selena, this episode is in the can, I believe.
It's in the can.
All right, guys, we will see you in about 7 days. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. Stay fierce.